most of all, I want to encourage people just to consider this as an idea, that the future is positive, it's about transformation, it's about change, and it's about the awakening of everyone to a far more positive way of living. Simpler for those of us in the material, overdeveloped world where greed is causing such imbalance. The overarching theme has to do with us recognizing that we are one humanity, one human family, and the need in the world is for us to change so that everyone can live lives of health and healing and purposeful experience to help everyone in their inner growth and in their livelihood. And I like to say this is a time for practical spirituality.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Planetary Makeover. And today we have a show that's full of food for thought, so to speak. And we will get more into that later. And it's coming in the guise of hope for a positive future for this world. And transformation of a miraculous kind and assistance of an extraordinary kind. And we also always want to remind you that this information is for your consideration only. If it rings true for you and if it resonates with you, fine. If not, forget it and move on. But we're hoping that it will tweak your interest enough to stick around, because we'd like to talk about a world, as I said, in transformation, because we're at a point of crisis. But as you know, I guess from that ancient Chinese phrase, crisis is similar to opportunity. And that's precisely what we have at this time. And that's what our guest, Catherine Ryle, is going to talk to us about and with us. Now, Catherine is a retired teacher, marine biologist, a grandmother, and has been committed as an active global citizen with respect to the sharing of this information for over 40 years now. So, Kathy, great to have you on the show. And what's on your mind today? What have you got for us?
Well, David, it is always a great pleasure to be a part of anything that helps spread this incredibly positive and hopeful information that is reassuring and promising a positive future. So I'm happy to be bringing to you information today that will give people food for thought, I hope, in this theme of food for thought. And the main thing to that brings reassurance is to demonstrate, show, provide information about the fact that we have help. Humanity has help of the most extraordinary kind now to help us during this time of such confusion and conflict and disturbing news. So if disturbing development. So if people want just a taste of this perspective, I have a mind cookie to share. And I have a play on words for starters, because I love words and acronyms. And so, David, I have a new form of Wi-Fi to share with you.
So tell us more. What have you transformed that almost cliched word into, and what has it become? What is the something new that it has become?
Well, what it is today is I'm going to be sharing wisdom and ideas, and we're going to have fun, and I'm also will be providing information about this whole story of what is going on this planet in ways that people have not yet seen. Certainly there's lots to see if you are looking, which is what I have been doing for years. So for just starters, I'm going to hold up to the camera a mind cookie, and I'll hold it as still as I can and read it. Hope dawns anew. Transformation by people power. We are not alone. Ancient wisdom teachers return. Eldest brother Maitreya says sharing equals justice equals peace. There's one of the websites below that, and then share love. So that's it in a nutshell. And what I'd like to do is expound on that and explain more about what that all means, starting with the phrase, ancient wisdom teachers have returned. Humanity has gone through numerous crises over thousands of years, and we are at that point again now. We are literally leaving the age of Pisces and entering the age of Aquarius. And at these times where the energies are changing, where humanity is in great confusion, teachers appear to help us through that transition. And that is what is going on now. So we have help of the highest integrity, the highest ability to guide us and give us perspective on these challenges. They're not here to do the work. We are the ones who need to change. We are the ones who need to do that work, because our free will is sacrosanct. Nothing is ever done that violates human free will with respect to the masters. Certainly we do that all the time with each other, and that's what needs to change. But in its heart, humanity, by the millions, by the billions, the vast majority of humanity is ready to wake up to oneness. And that's the major theme of what is happening. It is time for us to wake up to the oneness of humanity. We are one human family. And the circumstances on the planet right now are not sustainable, and they are so out of balance that we are at risk of actually destroying the planet. And so the need for change is paramount. And this information provides a context for what those changes need to be. And I find this to be fantastically inspiring, encouraging, full of hope, full of possibility. The idea that we could work together to solve the problems of the world in the best possible way, that's something to hold on to. So that's what I'm going to share specifics about that now, today.
Well, you know, this might be a good time to pause. I was thinking about what you said about how humanity is getting assistance, but we're not being led by the nose. And that makes sense. And that humanity is awakening. It makes sense that it's taken us so long to get to this point because it was entirely up to us. And we're finally getting a clue. And as you said, we have help of an extraordinary kind, these elder brothers of humanity. And that you're positing a hopeful future, because until people realize that it's a fact that the world is changing for the better, that we're not going to hell in a handbasket, what they need is hope. And then once they have the certainty that these transformative changes will result in a beautiful new civilization, then they can toss away the hope, because now they know for sure. So the hope that you're offering to the world right now, Kathy, is precisely what we need. So that reminds me, how did you come to this information? What brought you to it? And how can you in turn introduce it to our audience?
Well, I'm happy to share that. It puts it in context. And my story has to do with the fact that I've always been interested in spiritual things and learning. And even as a small child, I can remember being inspired by being in nature. I'm a biologist by training and loved everything to do with nature. But as I grew up, I learned more. I was quite devout as a young teenager. When I went to college, I started being interested in other religions. And over those years, I started encountering more and more information that invited me to think in larger terms about what reality is, what the truth is, how we understand anything. And so at the time I heard about this lecture by a man named Benjamin Krem, I was with a group of young mothers. I lived in Oregon at that time. And we were all interested in expanding topics about spirituality. And someone had heard that this lecture was going to happen in Portland. So we decided to leave our babies with their dads. And we drove up in a car to hear this man speak, Benjamin Krem. And I'll explain a little bit more about who he is that I learned later. But at the time, what he had to say, the information that he shared, I found so compelling and interesting. And he started out the same way we started out today. This is simply for your consideration. See what you think. See what rings true for you. Well, I was pretty fascinated, and definitely what I learned and came to understand through his one-hour lecture, or maybe it was an hour and a half, whatever the talk was, it changed my understanding of the meaning and purpose of life in a big way. And I left that lecture, that presentation, which had a time of semi-meditation as well. And I'd been meditating since my senior year in college. So I was primed to spend some time in silence. Anyway, I left that feeling like I wanted to hug everyone in the audience. There was just this sense of oneness and possibility and positivity. It made such sense to me, and it made more sense than anything I had encountered to that point. So I bought books there. I think at that point there was just one book, which was the title of it is The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. I got the whatever information I could, and went on from then to learn all that I could about this whole story. And at this point, I would like to interject that the word Christ and what has been explained, what I accept about that, what that word means, my understanding is that Christ is a title. And when Jesus was here to inaugurate the previous age, the age of Pisces, over 2,000 years, well, about 2,000 years ago, he was anchoring the energy of the Christ. He was Jesus the Christ. And that title is now carried by this teacher, Maitreya, who is considered the eldest brother of humanity. And that is, he and the Buddha were the two human beings who were the first to fully wake up to their divine essence. And that they anchor that highest wisdom and energy on this planet. So Maitreya is, his title is Maitreya the Christ, anchoring the Christ energy on this planet. But it is not necessary to accept that explanation. What matters the most about what Maitreya is bringing and what I'm going to be explaining more information about is His message is about the need for sharing. That's what's important to remember, the need to change. So the masters, and Maitreya comes with a group called the Masters of Wisdom. They are all human beings, just like us, who have gone ahead of us in evolution and have woken up to their full, they've mastered the physical plane. And they are aware of their divine consciousness all the time. And they have abilities beyond our comprehension. They have no need to eat or sleep. They work 24 hours a day helping humanity. So the first stage of this emergence of Maitreya, which was explained by Benjamin Krem, were these 140 messages received by Benjamin Krem. And it's important now to explain who Benjamin Krem is.
And before you get into Ben, I thought it was interesting too that you mentioned how both Maitreya and the Buddha were amongst the first to wake up, and that now all of humanity, in a sense, is starting to wake up, and that the Masters of Wisdom are, as you said, working 24/7 for humanity and for the plan with a capital P. And most people aren't aware that there is a plan for this planet, and that humanity is part and parcel of that plan. You've heard so many people say, well, this planet would be better off without humanity. Well, as it turns out, we need that kingdom to help hold the others together. And here we, you've illustrated and the masters have underlined the need for humanity to respond to, open up, and embody and demonstrate, as Maitreya and Buddha have, demonstrate their divinity. So go ahead and tell us more about these messages from Maitreya, Kathy.
Well, just to touch on this idea, the concept of a plan, it has to do with the idea that our presence here on the planet is about the evolution of consciousness. And the bigger picture is all about the energies and how energies move through the kingdoms. I won't try and explain all that right now, but Benjamin Krem, who I heard speak on that night in January 1982 in Portland, Oregon, is, I didn't know it at the time, but he is a highly accomplished artist. And in all the materials that I've seen from the organization Share International, his paintings are on the cover of his books and the magazine. And he was trained over many years working with one of the Masters of Wisdom, very arduous training to develop the ability to have telepathic rapport with his master. And then in time, telepathic rapport with Maitreya. And that is how these messages came. Krem anchors sort of the physical energy it takes to speak. But the words and the ideas of Maitreya's come from the highest levels of consciousness. So this is completely different from what is commonly when people feel they're getting information from other places. That's a process called channeling. And this is completely different. It's at a much higher level and takes much more training to be as clear as it is. These 140 messages, which are in this book, Messages from Maitreya the Christ, came through over a period of about 5 years from 1977 until 1982. And they all happened in a public setting. And all the messages were recorded. But any the meetings were regularly held in London. Benjamin Krem at that time lived in London. He has since passed away. And the important thing is this is not does not involve any mediumship or trance or anything. He was fully conscious. And it is possible these messages were recorded, and a few of them are available online, the actual recordings. They're a little hard to find. It's not, you can't Google for it. And about a third of these 140 messages are also available online. And then, of course, the materials are available through Share International's process of making this information known. But you can listen to how Benjamin Krem's voice, there are many videos of him explaining this story, since he traveled the world for 40 years sharing this information. His voice changes and gets deeper and resonant when these words are spoken through him.
My dear friends, I am happy indeed to be with you once again in this fashion. And to tell you that all is well. All proceeds to plan, and that plan works out. When my face is seen on a wider scale, you will know that your elder brother is with you. Take up the challenge which I present, and help me to serve your brothers. Take care to miss me not. Watch carefully, my friends, and be happy at the prospect. Smilingly turn your gaze on the future. Laughingly turn your back on the past. Gratefully receive the blessing of God's love and create anew the plan. Make haste to follow. Make haste to recognize. Triumphantly teach and know the joy of service. My love goes with you all. Please receive the blessing of Christ. with the divine light and love and power of the one most holy God. Be now manifest within your hearts and minds. May this manifestation lead you in gladness to your brother's side.
I wanted to read a section of one message.
Yes, I was just thinking about what you had said, the difference between channeling, which we hear so much about, and Ben Krem being overshadowed by Maitreya. And if the audience is anything like myself, you'd read a lot of channeled material, which I understand is from the astral or emotional plane, which is sort of rife with misinformation, and how that differs from the mental overshadowing that Benjamin Krem experienced, that, as you pointed out, most of us are not equipped to do it this time. And I think that's a really important distinction. And I hope that a lot of our listeners will take a look at the information you've presented and listen to them and compare them to the channeling that they've listened to in the past and notice the difference, which is not so subtle, and do their own homework and discover, like you and I have, that it strikes a much deeper and richer tone. And we're not just talking about the quality of his voice, but the importance of his words and the meaning behind them. It has a transformative effect when you listen to it, stimulating you both mentally and your intuition. So yes, go ahead, Kathy.
Well, I think another really important point to make, and I think it's very clear in these messages, it's important for the person interested to have discernment about the quality of information that they're reading, whatever the source. There's just a difference. And this information, these messages are beautiful, they're powerful, they're poetic, they carry great meaning and significance, and overall they speak about who Maitreya is and why he's here and what he envisions for the future. They're very encouraging and positive, and every 10th message, number 10, number 20, number 30, and so on, has a particular rhythm and power and simplicity of language. So I'm going to read you an excerpt from message number 37. And this is how it goes. By this means will you know me, by my light which shines through you, awakening you to service and love. By this means will you know me, by my call for justice and reason. By this means shall you know me, by my work among your brothers, those who need my help. My appeal shall sound forth. Save the world, help those who suffer and die in need. My call shall resound. Correct the mistakes of the past and renew the spirit of man. Make way for love in your hearts and see God. And a very important aspect to add to this is that at the level of the masters, at the soul level, there's no gender issue. So the messages refer to Maitreya will speak of my brothers and sisters, but quite often the language speaks of men and brothers, and it really refers to everyone on the planet. It's not gender identity. When they say men, they mean mankind. So keep that in mind if to our viewers, if people decide to look at these messages and read them for themselves. But they bring guidance, and they establish, in particular, some of Maitreya's priorities. And we mentioned earlier that his basic message, regardless of whether he is the Christ or the world teacher, that is another title for Maitreya, regardless of that, his basic message is that the answer to the world's problems is to share. And I add to that, I will say to people when I speak, the imbalance we have on the planet now is unsustainable. And that needs to change in all the systems that run this planet. So the need for change and transformation at all levels for all people is on the near horizon, but it's about changing to a positive future. So the messages about sharing, some of these messages, in fact, the one that I just read the excerpt from, which I sort of have titled By This Means, that has been put to music, and others have been put to music by a marvelous musician named Tony Townsend. And those songs are out there of these messages put to music. And the one that we're going to share in this program, we're going to play a message, that a song that was made out of from several messages put together. And it's about sharing. And that's what's coming next on this program. So this is Tony Townsend singing the song Learn to Share, and these are Maitreya's words.
Kathy, I just wanted to comment before we listen to Tony how that message struck me, particularly the line where he says, correct the mistakes of the past and renew the spirit of man. That really hit me hard, and well, I wouldn't say hard, but it landed with a thud in my consciousness and made a real impression. And I remembered that line more than any of the rest of the message, I think. And that just about sums it up. Clean up house and get your act together and let's move forward. And so that was a great choice, Kathy. And so let's go on ahead with the playing of Tony Townsend's wonderful piece.
The return of the masters and of Maitreya have to do with the fact that humanity seems on a course of self-destruction always. And we got through World War II, and we survived the confrontation between the two great three or whatever superpowers. But now we're facing another problem. Of the despotic aspect in our own country. The main reason for the return, however, is to allow people to live normal, healthy, active lives so that they can discover and develop the godlike nature which lies within. And the very first thing we must do is learn to share the resources of the world, so the G7 countries don't hoard them all, so people who starve and die in their millions can have a decent life. And this is a song with words by Maitreya, Learn to Share. be content with the molds within which you now live. 1 million starve and die in squalor. When the rich parade their wealth before the poor, when each man is his neighbor's enemy, when no man trusts his brother, for how long must you live thus, my friend? For how long can you support this degradation? Learn to share, to grasp your brother's hand and know him as yourself. Take your brother's need as the measure for your action and solve the problems of the world. There is no other course. Learn to share. Throughout the world, there are men, women, and little children who have not even the essentials to stay alive. They crowd the cities of many of the poorest countries in the world. This crime fills me with shame. My brothers, how can you watch these people die before your eyes and call yourselves men? Learn to share, to grasp your brother's hand and know him as yourself. Take your brother's need as the measure for your action and solve the problems of the world. There is no other course. Learn to share. Why sit still when the world groans, when men, women, and children die in misery, cast off by their brothers, are hungry and perish needlessly for want of the food which lies rotting in the storehouses of the world? Learn to share, to grasp your brother's hand and know him as yourself. Take your brother's need as the measure for your action and solve the problems of the world. There is no other course. Learn to share. Learn to share.
Isn't it wonderful to hear this? That song was a compilation from different messages, and some of the words are pretty powerful and strong. But Tony's putting these messages, some of the messages, to music has made it easy to memorize some of the messages. So I really cherish his music, and I'm so glad we could share it today. And speaking of sharing, which is the main theme for Maitreya, he has in some of his teachings after the messages, he has four priorities that he has laid out about what is most important. Obviously, the environment is the number one issue on the planet for everyone, but his priorities have to do with, number one, feeding the hungry, because there is enough food on this planet to feed everyone. and there's no reason why anyone should be starving. So food, feed the hungry, housing, healthcare, and education, that these four things are the birthright of every human being, to enable every human being to live a life of fulfillment and meaning and purpose. That's the goal, and that's the hope. And there's a lot of information out in the available about the food situation. So I wanted to mention something, and you told me you had something too, David, to share.
Yes, and this also dovetails nicely with your mention of the article that in Share International magazine that said that there was a new Marshall Plan afoot. And the audience will recall the original Marshall Plan was during, or at the close of, World War II, where the United States helped the countries of Europe rebuild themselves. It was a tremendous success. So there is a new Marshall Plan that has been dreamt up, and this has more to do with the crises that humanity is going through today, the spiritual crises, which is not in the area of religion or philosophy, but rather in the area of politics and economics. And it brings up the very priorities that you have mentioned, and I know you're going to reiterate, Kathy, that of ending world hunger.
Well, that is a plan. It's called the Global Marshall Plan. I'm just beginning to learn about it. I don't have too much understanding, but I was thrilled to see that something like that is being talked about and looked at by people whose profession is to pay attention to world food systems and how they can be improved and made more fair. So that, but you had a quote from the UN, or a comment about something from the UN, David.
Oh, that's right. And that also was from Share International magazine, from the December 2022 issue, so just 6 months ago. And the article was about a blueprint for the future, Utopian Thinking Part 1. And this was under the heading within that article, The Efficiency of Justice. And it said, an aside illustrating the inefficiency of injustice, says the developed countries could end world hunger with only 10% of our military expenditures, according to the UN. Just 10% of what we spend on waging war, with that, we could wipe out world hunger.
And those are the kind of changes that are needed. And that is the kind of thinking that needs to get attention. And there's no question that it is a time now for power to the people. I remember a bumper sticker that has always stuck in my mind, where the people lead, the leaders will follow. Until we have leaders who are really showing up with the kind of vision we need, I'm talking about elected leaders. Obviously, the vision is already there by the grace and guidance and wisdom of Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom. To have that to go forward and to help us have a vision for the future, the vision of positive change, there's no question that the time is now and the challenge is now, and we don't have time to waste. I wanted to share another message that speaks to this time now in the age of Aquarius. And this message was also put to music by Tony Townsend, parts of this message. And I'm going to read you again another excerpt. This is message number 42. Many times have you heard me say that my coming means change. Specifically, the greatest change will be in the hearts and minds of men. For my return among you is a sign that men are ready to receive new life. That new life for men do I bring in abundance. On all the plains, this life will flow, reaching the hearts and minds and bodies of men, bringing them nearer to the source of life itself. My task will be to channel those waters of life through you. I am the water carrier. I am the vessel of truth. That truth shall I reveal to you and lift you into your true nature.
A stunning excerpt, and certainly both inspiring and thought-provoking, something to ponder upon and also to read in troubled times.
His words are so inspiring and reassuring and encouraging and full of wisdom. And it brings us around to the idea that the time for change is now. And it's a time where wherever you are, however you feel, if you want to be a part of the healing of the planet, the healing of humanity, now is the time to get involved. The more the better it is, the more we have to do. There's a great deal of work to do, but there's no question the consumptive and wasteful lives of the developed world, which is using far more of the resources of the planet than is their fair share with respect to all of humanity. That time is coming. And one of the visions I like to hold out that I've held in my heart for years is I do believe that in our lifetime, we will experience what it will be to eat and know that no one on this planet is starving. That's an image, a vision I'd like to invite people to hold, that's coming, it's possible, we can do it. And there are systems beginning to be in place to address just that issue.
And when you mention that too, you bring to mind, Kathy, other of his messages. And in one of them, he had said, nothing happens by itself. Man must act and implement his will. And in another of Benjamin Krem's books, I believe that one was The Laws of Life, Maitreya had said that we want to shift to a mindset of sufficiency as opposed to what we have now, gluttony or a overabundance of material objects, and an end to people attempting to acquire materiality endlessly. So instead, we would switch to a focus of efficiency, sufficiency, but efficiency comes with it. And that way, when everyone has what they need, it shifts the consciousness of all humanity. No one is starving, no one is hungry, no one is lacking education or a healthy environment or peaceful circumstances. And then we can all think straight and we can move forward together. And I believe that that's what the message you just read helps exemplify.
It brings to mind a quote from Gandhi, "Live simply, so that others may simply live." In the realm of how people might choose to help, of course, there's any number of possibilities, but one other way, an unusual way, is a practice that we do as a group in promoting Maitreya's efforts in the world, and that is a a practice of meditation called transmission meditation. And it is a, I tell people it's a simple meditation, but of course that doesn't mean it's easy. It takes a focus of will. It takes mental power. And that service, it is a method of service to help the world energetically in ways that are unseen to us. So transmission meditation is something that is practiced by people connected to this work, and there are hundreds of groups all over the world.
That was a great lead-in and introduction to the subject, Kathy. And as you said, there are groups all over the world that are forming daily. And there are also people joining these groups who are not particularly interested in the message of Maitreya or in transmission meditation per se. They just like to meditate. And from whatever background, whatever intention people come from, they're welcome to join and take from it what they need. What we're contending is that it is a form of world service, unlike transcendental meditation, which is more of a personal meditation. In the case of transmission meditation, you are becoming a conduit for these energies that the masters are the scientific custodians of. And while you're not directing the energies, they do pass through you, through your upper chakras, those energy centers in the body, and out into the world. As I said, we don't direct them. The spiritual hierarchy, the masters of wisdom, do. And they can do everything from, you could say, poetically adding to the spring of spiritual waters from which all of creation drinks, to something as earthy as helping countries negotiate that are at each other's throats. In any event, it is helping all of creation, and it is assisting the people who are involved in it. If you're allowing yourself to have these energies pass through you, it's raising your vibratory rate. It's accelerating your own evolution, spiritual evolution, which doesn't necessarily have anything to do with religion, but your own evolution, the evolution of the planet, and that of the entire species, the human species, and helping move us all forward. And sometimes it even conveys healing to people who are involved in the meditation. That's not its primary function, but I'd say that's a pretty good side effect. Wouldn't you, Kathy?
Well, the main thing is any form of meditation is very good for spiritual development. Transmission meditation, because it is based on the science of triangles, the science of energies, is extremely potent. And there is now regular online offerings of introductions to transmission meditation that people can join by Zoom. So I wanted to kind of wind up my part in this by reiterating that the overarching theme has to do with us recognizing that we are one humanity, one human family. And the need in the world is for us to change so that everyone can live lives of health and healing and purposeful experience to help everyone in their inner growth.
Visit us on Facebook at hashtag Planetary Makeover. This show has been a production of planetarymakeover.org.
We invite you to visit Planetary Makeover on YouTube, where we have dozens of fascinating shows in line with what you've just seen.
For more background information, visit www.shareinternational-west.org. That's www.shareinternational-west.org. for related books, DVDs, and CDs by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the world teacher Maitreya, please go to share-ecart.com.